Talk Back Jackson Sports on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Brought to you by Knudsen's. And, of course, our good friends at Bud Light. We are going to go to the sports line right now. 9 times out of 10, when we have conversations here, they're items that are pre-recorded. That's why it's always a treat when we have the opportunity to go live. And we are welcoming to the program Jackson Chief Equity Officer John Willis. John, how the heck are you?
Man, I'm blessed by the best and highly favored. How about yourself, Mark?
Hey, man, life is good. Life is really good. I'm just so happy to have the opportunity to talk with you a little bit. Now, just to give our listeners a little background, John is a man of many talents. He along with the things that he does for the city, he's also a great basketball coach. He's also an outstanding singer, but...
That's supposed to be a secret, Bart.
No. Come on. It's all over. There's pictures of you singing all over the internet. So, but the other thing is, John, the other thing is, though, you are the second best dancer in all of Jackson County.
I told Scott this was going to come up. There was a controversial decision.
No!
That was made.
No! Gosh, it must have been like 10, 15 years ago. We were at a fundraiser for the Aware Shelter, and it was back because now they do Men Who Cook, but then it was, I forget what they called it, but it was a dancing competition. And,
right.
Yeah.
Stepping contest there. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So John is known as the second best dancer because,
ballroom dancing. So there was some controversy. There was some payola. There's some things that exchanged that took place.
Payola.
But I have to confirm that Mark that year was the champion ballroom dancer for us.
Oh, man, that was a lot of fun that night. But
yes, sir.
So anyway, John, first of all, thank you for taking time and joining us here, man. We really do appreciate it. So let's talk about your role now with the city, because you had a really long career at the King Center with your office down there. I visited you a couple times down there, but now you're at City Hall and you're the Chief Equity Officer. Tell our listeners what that means and what that's about.
As Chief Equity Officer, I'm the Director of the Department of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. So we address issues that pertain to Jackson in terms of how is our diversity, our equity, and our inclusion. To break it down real simple, diversity is just how are we addressing people that have differences. Any difference that makes a difference includes diversity. With equity, it's just a matter of, I like it like this way. I come into a room and I have 100 people, I bring 100 shirts. That's equality. All this is one size fits all. Mm-hmm. But if I come into that room and I bring 100 shirts, each one in that person's size, then that's the equity portion of it. And the final portion of the inclusion means I have you in the room, but are you included in the conversation?
Right.
Do you get a chance to speak at the table? Do you get a chance to eat at the table? So that we kind of work on that aspect, and it kind of feeds off of all the things that we've done at King Center over the years and a lot of stuff that has gone into our the things that we learned about and developed an interest in over the years. So it's an honor to do. Jackson has been a city that's very receptive to a lot of the changes and the things that are taking place. So it's a privilege to be able to work in that area.
Well, I can't think of a better person in place there for that position. So thank you for all the good work that you do, not only for the city of Jackson, but really for our community as a whole, because what happens in the city impacts the rest of the county. So thank you for your tremendous work. Let's talk a little bit about your work at the King Center. When you were there for how many years were you there at the King Center?
I was at King Center for just over 20 years.
Oh, so just a short while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Just a short while. And just, you know, when I was preparing for our conversation, I was scrolling through a lot of different pictures and images of you. And just the different things that you were doing with the youth of Jackson, and a lot of it was athletic based. I mean, you're playing basketball,
right.
You're playing ping pong, you're doing other things. There's a lot of kids. You introduced a lot of kids to athletics in Jackson. Tell us a little bit about that.
That was one of the beauties of being at King Center. I came through Jackson Recreation Department, and it helped me develop as well as allow me to help other youth develop that interest in sports. Sports is kind of a united language. So no matter what your ethnicity is, no matter what language you speak, sports brings a lot of people together. So I started in the recreation department as a part-time football, youth football coach. Mm-hmm. From there to youth football program director. And from there, man, we just really got to coaching everything, you know, and even led all the way up to us coaching, head coaching at Jackson College for a while. But we had an opportunity to learn to share the fundamentals of sports with youth. And to see see a young person begin to develop that skill and start to hone in and become a pretty good athlete just based on them being willing to learn fundamentals and grow from it and watch the muscularity and the skill development. It was an outstanding, man, a wonderful experience, able to touch a whole lot of lives. A lot of people today, they'll come up to you that I've forgotten, and it's actually kind of telling of my age. But they remember me being their first coach, and they remember some of the things we've done. So it means so much to be able to share with young people that way.
When I was with United Way, one of the stories that I would always share when I was talking with teachers were the memories I had of the men that were involved with my life when I was a kid. And the ones who helped, you know, keep me on the right path, or I learned a lot from, they were my coaches.
Yes, sir.
They were my coaches. It was always tied to athletics. And that's what I love about sports are the life lessons that you learn on the field, that you learn on the court, that you take and transition with you and transition to other parts of your life. And I'm sure you've seen that too. I have the idea of some of the kids that you've had to work with throughout your career. And how has their experience with you in athletics helped mold them into the type of person they're supposed to be?
I think a lot of it has to do with, as they say, not the X's and O's, but the Jimmy's and Joe's. When you're coaching, you're building a relationship. And in that relationship, I can show them things without having to tell them things sometimes. I can show them how to respond under pressure or into a negative situation by the way I respond under pressure or in a negative situation. You can show them how to deal with. We get back up and we walk again. So a lot of the young people that we work, their first time, sometimes they haven't had that person in their lives that will help them deal with those situations or help them understand, hey, you know what? Yes, we just had a big loss. We maybe even a big loss that we should not have had, but it's not the end of the world. There's another day. We go back. We prepare again. We prepare better, and we get better that way. If you learn your fundamentals as opposed to just coming out, some kids are just naturally talented athletes. Mm-hmm. But the thing that was important to me that I was able to share with them, if you would take that natural talent and you add to that some hard work ethic, add to that the discipline and the skills to make you better at your sport, it changes everything around you. My son Kyrie is an example of probably not even the best athlete in my family, but just hard work, discipline. Kyrie would get on my nerves at King City. He would come down there and he would want to practice and do drills. And it's the same thing with numerous other kids.
Yeah.
Some kids that are coaching now that we had in our programs. One of the young men that run a big program in Ann Arbor was in our Jackson College program. And he attributes that to the things that we were able to share with him because it's more than just about the sport. It is about developing character and showing guys how to go through things the right way.
We're talking with Jackson's Chief Equity Officer, John Willis, who also had a very, very long career at the King Center here in Jackson. And a couple takeaways, just kind of tongue-in-cheek takeaways just from what he just said, is that program in Ann Arbor, which you don't name by name, do you?
We try not to talk about, you know, the people down the street there. We just
make
a reference there.
So for those who don't know, I'm sure most of you do, but just to fill you in, for those that don't know, Kari Willis, who is a standout at Lumen, was also a standout at MSU and is now playing for Indianapolis, one of John's sons. And, you know, we've had this conversation when we bumped into each other at the United Way office. You know I'm a Michigan fan, but I can still respect everything that Kari has done in his career at MSU and what he's doing at the pro level. And just so proud that a product of Jackson, that your boy is being so successful. As a dad, What's that like? Share those feelings with us.
Man, it's just to see your child aspire to something early in life and continue to work to achieve and be successful in that. It makes you feel really, really proud as a dad. You get to see the good times and the bad times. One of the things we always say, everybody wants to be a champion, mm-hmm. but most people don't want to work like a champion. And we would talk about it. We would have discussions at times where, hey, you know, there's a big party going on. Everybody's going down there. And we're like, hey, you got a tournament tomorrow. What's most important to you? At this tournament, there are going to be 30 coaches. What's most important, you going to this party or you working on your skills, being prepared for what you have to face tomorrow? And he was able to make decisions that kept him in a good position. He was blessed to stay in good health as well. But the decisions and the choices that we were able to make him watch, the sacrifices that we were able to make him to watch him choose on his own, paid off for him. So as a father, man, you're super proud. I'll be honest with you. My first couple of NFL games, I was pretty nervous, man. It was a big, fast guy. So Dad was a little nervous. He laughs about it now. The first game was at Buffalo. I'll never forget it. And I was sitting about 3-4 rows back. And I'm like, oh, my God, they got my kid down there against these offensive linemen, 350 pounds. But you know, he held his own, and he's been blessed. So.
So how often do you get to go see him play in Indianapolis or at other stadiums?
I try to make every single game. So between you and me, and I guess now everybody's listening to the radio, I'm not a Flyer, man.
Oh,
so
wow.
I drive. So, like, for the Baltimores and for the Nashvilles, I literally drive every game that I can be at. So I have flown one time in the last 32 years. I flew to his last college bowl game in San Francisco.
Okay.
I was terrified, but he asked me, he really wanted me to be there.
Wow. Man. All right. So as far as Kari's career, to get him to where he needed to be right now, what was the thing he needed to work on the most? What part of his game or practice or schemes, where did he have his biggest challenges and how did he overcome that?
I think for Kari, the first thing for him was accepting that, hey, I've got better football opportunities than I do basketball opportunities. I'm going to change my focus. Because from the time he was probably 7-8 years old until his junior year of high school, everything that we've seen, his aspirations, everything was kind of leading to for basketball. Mm-hmm. He was an all-state basketball player for 3 years. All-around player, basketball players in our county for 3 years. So we were always thinking basketball. He had like 13 Division I basketball scholarships by the time he was a junior in high school. And then all of a sudden, football just kind of took off. He told me he wasn't going to play basketball because we had a deal. If he had a Division I offer, he wouldn't have to play. You know, I try to keep him involved in everything. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, if you get a Division I offer in a sport, then I won't make you, you know, participate in the other ones at that level. And he had a Division I offer, so he told me in 10th grade, he said, that's it. Football's over, Dad. You know, I said, okay. I was willing to keep my bargain. And then the night before, the first day of football camp, he went and he said, Dad, I need to get some cleats. And so we went out, got the cleats. That first game out, I think he rushed for 277 yards against a team a northern team. I can't remember which team it was.
Yeah.
But so then that, you kind of switched for him. So I think the big thing for him was wrapping his mind around it. The biggest sacrifice I know that he had to make, when he went to Michigan State, there were originally conversations about him playing both sports. He realized as a freshman that he had not been playing defense long enough to be successful at that position at the level that he wanted to be.
Okay.
So he chose not to play basketball and to focus that offseason on becoming better as a defensive player at Michigan State. And it's paid off for him greatly.
Yeah. Well, it's been a great time watching him. And it's just, you know, being able to see him on Monday night and all that. It's just awesome. Very awesome.
Man, it's exciting, man. I don't want to live vicariously through my children, but you all want to see them all be successful.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's really exciting to watch and learn it. The guy, they're under a lot of pressure. It's a game played at a really high level, high speed.
Right.
A lot of demands of them off the field. But to see him handle it with grace and composure and continue to work through things, even now working through, you know, little injuries and little nags and things that bother you, it's a challenge. But it's also been providing an example to his younger brothers. He's got his brother Bobby at Albion College playing football.
Okay.
And the youngest one in high school now. So.
Right. Yeah, and I want to ask you about Chunky because I keep telling Steve. I had a chance to fill in and do my first play-by-play game in 20 years at Lumen's first game of the season this year.
Right.
And you got to see Chunky put up his big mitt, block that punt. You know, they didn't get, that was the only time Lumen had their hands in the ball, the whole first half or first quarter. Yeah. And it was Chunky who blocked that punt. And I tell Steve, from then on, it's not a Lumen broadcast unless we're at least saying his name. And he's been out a few ways. He got, a concussion protocol he's going through. What's going on?
Yep. He's back on the field this week.
Okay.
He was actually cleared to play last week, but, you know, Coach Brogan's always looking out for players. Best interest. He's always understanding. He did the same thing with my son Terrell. Terrell came back from an injury. And keep in mind, Terrell's 32 now.
Okay.
But wow. Mr. Brogan felt 33. Brogan felt at that time, because he did have a college football career in the horizon, that it was best to sit him when he probably could have helped him get some more victories. And he did the same thing with Chunky last week. He said he's ready to go. But if we don't need him, let's save him in the next week, and he'll be out this week against Western.
Oh, yeah. He definitely didn't need him last week. We had a chance to call that game too. He definitely didn't need him last week. That was an
right.
impressive win
right,
for.
Right.
Now does Chunky have? What grade is he in?
He's a senior this year.
He's a senior. Is he?
Senior this year.
Is there an opportunity you think for him to play at the next level?
Most definitely. He's getting some opportunities to go play at the next level. We're getting mail, you know, on a kind of regular basis now with
okay.
the interest that's there. So he's getting. That opportunity, and we'll take a look, explore those schools, take those visits, and see what's on the horizon for him. He's a huge kid, bigger than all the other boys.
Yeah,
6'4", about 275, 280. So he's getting that opportunity, and he says it's something he wants to do. Now we weren't sure that was his preference, to be honest with you, early, and that is his preference. That's what he says he wants to do. So
right.
we'll do all we can, and his coaches. They're great at helping them, you know, make those decisions, those choices, and getting information out about those capabilities. So.
Outstanding. Well, man, you're a great dad. You're an outstanding contributor to this community, and just thank you for everything that you've done for Jackson County and for the city of Jackson. It's a pleasure having you on the show. John Willis, the Chief Equity Officer for Jackson, the city of Jackson. John, thank you so much for the time today. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Well, thanks a lot, Mike. But I love being here, man. Appreciate what you guys do. You guys are awesome. Any time, this is great for me, man. We really appreciate it. Love listening to you guys. Keep up with the great broadcast and make Jackson what it is on the radio, man.
Oh, man. Thanks, John. We'll talk with you soon. Maybe on the dance floor.
All right, thank you. No more payola.
All right, John.
All right.
See you.
Take care.
John Willis joining the show here on Talk Back Jackson Sports, brought to you by Knudsen's and also brought to you by our friends at Bud and Bud Light. This is Talk Back Jackson Sports on Jackson's Fox Sports 101.9 FM.